Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Nacho Average Sports. This is your host, Nacho Libre. Out here, it is 9:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday evening. Do you know where your Nacho Average Sports fan is? We're right here, live. We just lost HQ, but, you know, who hasn't lost HQ? Let's see. Let's dive right into it. We got so much that we wanted to cover this weekend. You know, trying to be consistent, man, you know, and also give ourselves a little bit of leeway with being, you know, what do they say? What's that word that is escaping my mind right now? Disciplined. Yeah. Well, here we are. We're trying to get back to it. The NBA draft was on Thursday. So in the paint, our first pillar that we always kick off this show with, in the paint, current events. NBA draft. Let's look it over. You had Marvin Bagley from Duke being selected second overall by the Sacramento Kings over European favorite Luka Doncic. If you hear that music in the background, that's just Brooklyn. Don't worry about it. But yeah, Bagley to the Kings with De'Aaron Fox. You got two lefties now at point guard and power forward in the purple out there. We'll see how they do, you know, shout out to them. But Luka Doncic going three and then getting traded for Trae Young. Dallas Mavericks and Atlanta Hawks did a little flip-flop. And I think Luka Doncic is the 19-year-old kid who played at Real Madrid, who he's from Slovenia, right, I think? I'm sorry, we should have been more prepared. We have to do a little research here. We're pretty sure he's from Slovenia. But, you know, I think he fits in right at home in Dallas because he gets to learn from Nowitzki, and, you know, it's going to be awesome for him just to play with Dennis Scott Jr. and, let's see, sorry here. Yeah, Slovenia, right? He's from, he's Slovenian. All right, from Slovenia. All right, moving on. But this kid, we're excited for what Luka Doncic can do in the future, and if he can get any wisdom from Dirk, man, you know, who really came onto the scene almost 20 years ago as a European player and took the league by storm, you know. I think this kid has better passing acumen than Dirk at a younger age and perhaps better leadership skills as well. So excited to see what happens there. The fourth overall pick being Jaren Jackson to Memphis. You know, I feel bad for Memphis. They were shopping Chandler Parsons around with that fourth overall pick. So you could tell they didn't even really want the pick. I'm curious as to why Jaren Jackson's NBA draft stock is higher than Miles Bridges. Because Miles Bridges was the man at Michigan State. And Jaren Jackson was more like a sidekick. So really interesting to me. I get it. Jaren Jackson's father played on the Spurs, so NBA background. But JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, can he be a little Z-Bo? Can he be that type of fit for Memphis? Unfortunately, I feel bad for the kid because no matter how high his ceiling is, being on a team like Memphis, he may never get past the second round in his career. We'll see. Good luck to him. The pick we did like, I think it was 7 overall, Wendell Carter Jr. to the Bulls. You know, I think that was like maybe the Bulls' only pick in the whole draft. But, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be nice. I think, you know, he was overlooked a little bit because Marvin Bagley was on that same Duke team with him. But I think he's going to fill in nice. I think maybe, you know, at best, Wendell Carter Jr. could be what everybody thought Eddie Curry was supposed to be back in the day. And maybe that's not saying a lot, but maybe he's already exceeded expectations. You know what I'm saying? So that's a positive. Number 9, hey, the Knicks. Well, let's scale it back. Number 8, Colin Sexton. All right? I think Colin Sexton is a great pickup for the Cavs. Kid's ready to just go ham. He needs to work on his jump shot, obviously, but excited for his game, man. He's got flair. Kid, you know, nose to the grindstone type attitude, plays good defense. And then you go number 9, and the Knicks took Kevin Knox, University of Kentucky. John Calipari talking up a big storm. But Kevin Knox, he has the biggest upside, you know. I hope that missing out on or passing up on Michael Porter Jr., it doesn't haunt the Knicks. But obviously there's reasons why people were kind of, you know, so-so about Michael Porter Jr.'s health and his unfortunate spinal issues. And, you know, Kevin Knox seems like he's ready to take on New York. You need to come to New York with a certain attitude to survive out here. So, especially in the professional sports, professional media, it's a whole different gauntlet. But Kevin Knox seems like ready. Like the kid, you know, he's got a certain like bodacious swagger about him with his you know, like he knows how to carry squads on his shoulders, you know, and I think the versatility of his game translates beautifully to the modern NBA pace and style of play. So, you know, what was interesting too is I think a lot of people thought the Knicks were gonna try to get Mikal Bridges, who went to Villanova. And Mikal Bridges gets taken 10th right after him to Philly. And it looked like this whole incredible unification. Mikal Bridges, you know, from Nova, goes to Philly, gets to stay in Philly, where he played college ball. And his mother, is the global vice president of human resources for Harry Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, which is the company that owns the 76ers. And lo and behold, as soon as they drafted her son, they trade his ass. Damn, Philly. Damn. They traded him. Boom. Just like that. He goes to, where was it? Whoever drafted Zaire Smith. It could have been the Clippers, I believe. But, so now Philly gets Zaire Smith in exchange. You know, unfortunate, I think, PR move to even draft Mikal Bridges and trade him like that. You wouldn't have to do him like that. Pick Zaire Smith from the get or get somebody else. Like, that was just messy. That was messy. But I will say that Philly, with the amount of picks they had, I mean, you know, they gave the Boston Celtics a run for the money in terms of how they utilized the draft. I think Philly had the deepest draft. And not just in terms of picks, but the talent per pick and the fact that in the first round, you also got Luke Shamet from Wichita State, and that kid is nice. You've seen, you know, yeah, Ron Baker's made the Knicks, okay. Fred VanVleet, who was Baker's backcourt teammate back in the day in those teams that made runs in the Final Four, he's made a name for himself on Toronto. But Luke Shamet was like the generation of Wichita State players and guards after those guys. And this kid has a jumper and a knack for the ball. And now he's gonna get to play behind, what, Simmons, man? He's going to play behind Simmons. And, you know, maybe they could learn from each other. He could be like a baby Simmons, but he has a real jumper. And maybe him having a jumper could help Simmons, vice versa. They could probably also play at the same time. You need a guy like Shamet also. Let's say if J.J. Redick, who is only signed for the 1 year, he's going to move on most likely if they don't keep him, because they're trying to, obviously, like every other team, make room, salary room for LeBron to potentially join the squad. The cat that stands out moving later in the draft, you give the San Antonio Spurs credit, because no matter what happens with Kawhi, and we'll get to that later, Lonnie Walker might be a bad, bad mama, you know what I mean? Bad boy. So Lonnie Walker, just his the finesse, you know, I haven't really seen a lot of tape on the kid, but just, you know, you could tell his characteristics. He's on point. He's on brand for the Spurs. They're gonna just mold him into like the most versatile two-way player of, I think, this draft. I think Lonnie Walker has the best potential to be the most well-rounded player in this draft, and it's because of the San Antonio Spurs and the way that they orchestrate their business. You had Grayson Allen of Duke going to Utah. That was the most redundant pick in NBA draft history, if you tell me, if you ask me, rather. We'll see what happens, though. You know, they had Donovan Mitchell was a rookie last year. Got add Grayson Allen to the mix. Utah's an interesting little squad out west. And young, diverse. So, yeah. But, you know, they had to take Grayson Allen. If Utah didn't take Grayson Allen, he was going to go to Boston. It's, you know, one of the whites. One of those teams. Anyway, moving on. Yet another Holiday brother entered the league. And I think that was a great pick for the Pacers. Because if anything, you know, listen, Collison, who also was a UCLA point guard back in the day, he's just a little too small and a little too old, you know. And Victor Oladipo played his, you know, heart out, especially against the Cavaliers. in the first round, and you could tell he needs another backcourt mate that has a little more muscle, let's say a little more vertical as well. And so you bring in Holiday, who is obviously not going to start right away, but you help, you know, bring more support than just Lance Stephenson, let's say, to back up and aid Oladipo. And ultimately, he's your point guard of the future, you would think, with Young and, I mean, with Holiday. And now you have him, Holiday, and Oladipo. Because in the East, man, you need bigger guards. You need tougher guards. You're not going to get by and get through the second round with, you know, point guards that don't play defense. So we'll see what happens. Are we still recording here? All right, here we go. All right. Shout out to Anchor. Also, you know, we've been on Anchor now. This is our fourth episode of Nacho Average Sports. I am your host, Nacho. At the same time, you know, they've been able to share this show on different platforms. Google Podcasts is something that just started, and it started for iOS, or rather Android, I'm mistaken, and beg my pardon, but Android, yes, has Google Podcasts, and we're looking forward to Google Podcasts being available on iOS as soon as possible. And but thank you again to Anchor for sharing the show. I think the steal of the first round, though, goes to the Lakers and taking Mo Wagner at the 25th pick. I mean, the kid fell out of the top 20. I don't know how. Things like that happen in the NBA draft, though. There's so much different talent you've never heard of, or comes from little schools or internationally, and then you have guys like Mo Wagner, who are certified top 20 picks, dropped to 25, and now it's a steal. In my, you know, the kid could even got drafted in the top 15. But hell of a pick for the Lakers. I think that's really going to pay off. I think it's basically a cheaper version of what they had hoped my man Mozgov was going to be, you know. But this kid is, you know, smart. He's a winner. He's just focused on winning. So we'll see what happens there with the Lakers moving forward. Then you had the Warriors taking that kid Evans from Cincinnati. And now, you know, Evans would have been a nice guard, I think, on any team that he went to. Kids got stroke. He went to Cincinnati and learned under coach Mick Cronin. So, you know, he's got a tenacity on defense. But now he has the luxury of going to Golden State and learning from the two greatest shooters of the generation, if not the two greatest shooters of all time, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And he's just going to, you know, he can learn from KD, as assuming KD resigns with the Warriors. Evans is going to be in his bag, man. And now the Warriors, man, they're just playing with house money. You got McCall, who overcame a nasty injury. He still has a successful future ahead of him. Quinn Cook is the guard who's signed for another year on the squad. And so Evans is just going to not be able to find his position and pace himself throughout the year. And I think, you know, in the same way that McCall was instrumental in the finals for Kerr 2 years ago, Jordan Bell being a rookie this year, got a lot of time in the playoffs. You don't be surprised if, you know, especially if I don't think we're going to bring back Swaggy P, but shout out to Swag Champ. You know, Evans is going to be a guy that, you know, is going to get some time, just like Kevon Looney got some time in this last playoffs. So, you know, we look forward to his evolution. And then the second round, you had Jalen Brunson from Villanova, who also goes to Dallas. I think Dallas is developing a nice little backcourt there. Don't know if they're going to keep Yogi Ferrell, or probably definitely not Seth Curry. But, you know, they got some smart ball players that can handle the rock in Dallas. So we hope they rebuild nice. Of course, the New York Knicks had to make the most bizarre pick of the whole draft, just on brand, apropos as they always are. They picked that kid Robinson, who went to high school, was going to go to Western Kentucky, I believe, went to Western Kentucky, attended class on campus for 2 weeks, took a vacation to Costa Rica, and the kid never went back to school. Then he said he was going to go to the NBA Combine, and then he didn't. And he was like, nah, psych. Fugazi on you, and the Knicks took him anyway. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the kid obviously has raw talent. He can run up and down the court. But when you take a year out of basketball. Hopefully he's been working on his game, but you know, you came out of high school. He didn't even play anybody else competitively in college, and Western Kentucky isn't like necessarily the Division I school that you expect to see in the tournament in March. So, but at the same time, maybe he'll develop. We'll see. If he's better than Jerome James, then it's a plus. Looking at what the last pick, and going back to the Sixers, wrapping up our NBA draft coverage here, don't sleep on what they call Mr. Irrelevant. The last player picked in the draft, I believe 60th overall, was none other than another Antetokounmpo, who is Giannis's younger brother, and apparently went to Dayton. I did not know the kid went to Dayton, but another Greek freak out there in the NBA, and he's on Philly now, and he's gonna, you know, probably play in their G League, but that's gonna be nice, man. Like, you know, that kid's, it's kids, you can't count him out, you know. I mean, his brother is who he is, and it took him a couple years to develop. Philly, I think, really had an A-plus draft. Just in the sense that they have young guys that they can develop, or they can also use them as trade chips. So now, as we go through, you know, just an anecdote and segueing from one pillar of the show to another, lost art of the mid-range jumper. The only note we really have on a historical tip that dawned on us is that it's been 20 years since the Chicago Bulls won a title. It's been 20 years since Michael Jordan hit those iconic shots and over Bryant and Russell and the Utah Jazz, et cetera, et cetera. But when will the Bulls come back to relevancy? You know, what's going to happen? Especially since have they been cursed? Is it the ghost of Derrick Rose? Who knows? You know, we hope that they, you know, survive some times, because they have some talented guards. Zach LaVine came back from injury. You have that kid that they got in the trade from the Timberwolves, who's going to be nice. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the Bulls. Out of left field, our bizarre interactions in sports section, Phil Mickelson. You know, we're not huge golf fans here necessarily, which is why honestly we had wished that we would have recorded, or I wish I would have recorded, a Father's Day podcast with my father and my grandfather, who are more golf aficionados per se in comparison to me, definitely. But Phil Mickelson apparently did a big no-no at the U.S. Open, hitting his golf ball twice when you're not allowed to, because the ball had the momentum of rolling down the hill, and then he said he knew that the penalty was going to be a two-stroke penalty, and so that's why he did it, in order to look smart. But, you know, people who like golf and follow golf say that it was a disgrace to the game. He should have been disqualified. And honestly, you know, I don't even follow golf like that, but Phil Mickelson's the type of guy to do shit like that. So, not surprising, but that definitely was our out-of-left-field, bizarre shit in sports. Phil Mickelson making an ass of himself and then laughing it off, as only Phil Mickelson can do. The Mendoza line. We're here, you know, usually we use the Mendoza line pillar to look at people who are, you know, I guess you could say, as the title itself explains, below average. But we're using this more as a, you know, like reclamation, if you will. We want to give a shout-out instead, an honorable mention, if you will, to Edwin Jackson, who was recently called up by the A's, and in doing so is joining his record-tying 13th professional baseball team, which makes him the super journeyman among, I guess, maybe one other guy. I don't really know who else he's tying. You know, pardon us for not doing that research, but you know, Edwin Jackson's always been talented. He's always been on some pretty talented teams. If you hear the weird noise in the background, that's just the bus. We'll wait maybe till that passes, but you know, Edwin Jackson, we'll see how he does in Oakland. We wish him the best, even if it doesn't work out in Oakland. If he winds up on his 14th team and sets a new record in professional baseball as a super journeyman, then kudos to him. You know, if nothing else, his career is a testament to the fact that he continues to bounce back again and again, no matter how many teams have given him an opportunity and then maybe, you know, slided him off their roster. He's resurfaced, man. The kid, Edwin Jackson, is like Teflon Don out here. So shout out to Edwin Jackson. We hope he does well. In our Hail Mary section, who's desperate in sports? We got to say, you know, this in the last couple weeks, and probably he still is feeling this way since he's still on a team he doesn't want to be on, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is definitely our most desperate athlete in sports right now because he desperately wants to be out of San Antonio. We understand kind of why, but it's still a mystery, and I totally understand why the Spurs are trying to make good with him, you know, either keep him on the roster or at least definitely not going to trade him to the Lakers. They're not going to give him to what he wants and give him to a Western rival, which means that are the Knicks going to ante up? Do the Knicks have anything that the Spurs might want? Can they send James Dolan's grandchildren? Like, who knows? All I know is, like, they got to do what they can to get Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's camp wants him in New York. The guy was in New York during the playoffs when he should have been on the bench when the Spurs were getting demolished by the Warriors. Kawhi Leonard, if you come to the Knicks, then the Knicks have a chance to sign LeBron and revolutionize this whole next season. And just, come on. It's a possibility. It could happen. Fingers crossed for all you Knicks fans out there. Moving on to our hole-in-one, who's killing in sports? We're going to give this to a brand that goes by the name of Puma. You may have heard of this. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Shout out to Puma. They signed a couple young, talented prospects that were drafted, namely DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley, who went 1-2 in the NBA draft. And they also signed a veteran, Rudy Gay, to a contract. And they also made news that Jay-Z is now going to be hired as in some creative role, in some creative capacity, very ambiguous. Probably the ambiguity works for them in terms of resisting certain conflicts of interest. Of course, Jay-Z himself may have certain conflicts of interest since he still run Roc Nation, and Roc Nation, you know, is in partnership with other brands and represents players who are, you know, contractually tied to other brands outside of Puma. So, but not unlike Jay-Z to put himself in the center of controversy and to find a way to wiggle himself out of it and come out on top with a little bit more success than he had going into it. So shout out to Puma. We're excited to see where they go. If Puma wants to sponsor Nacho Average Sports, we are not opposed. Send us a pair. We'll put it on our Instagram account. Shout out to Puma. And now, kind of wrapping up the episode here, our hat trick, looking at three different items of interesting, or let's say bizarre, news that we love to gather in the sports world. We're starting off with number one. If you haven't heard yet, Swaggy P, Jokester of the Year, says that we should legalize cocaine. You know, he's in love with the Coco, and he wasn't even with the Warriors that year that they sang that shit on the plane every time when they won a road game. But, you know, Swag Champ, love with the Coco. Whether you agree with it or not, you know, that's what he said. He said, she said, he got snitched on, now you put a ring on, legalized cocaine. So that was one part of the hat trick. The second part of our hat trick is the Junior Basketball Association and Big Baller Brand and LeVar and LaMelo Ball. Shout out to them. Shout out to their inaugural games. LA beat New York. LaMelo had a nice little game. They're going to be here in New York this coming Friday, out in Queens. We'll see if we try to get out there. But either way, you know, big ups to JBA. Hey, if anybody knows if JBA is looking for announcers, yo, holler at Nacho Average Sports. You know, we got them. We could do some sideline reporting. We could, you know, sport some Big Baller Brand gear, whatever you need us to do. You know, we did tweet, if you follow us at Nacho Podcast on Twitter, that the referees' uniforms are kind of nice, you know what I mean? I like the thought that went into the jerseys that the referees are wearing. The referees deserve to look nice too, especially if it's a brand new league. But, you know, you got to give, you, no matter how you feel about LeVar Ball, the fact that he created a new league to employ people, to employ youth, talented youth across the country who can ball at a high level, maybe not the highest professional level, but who still deserve to be compensated for their efforts. It's a new league that is autonomous in its own way, built on self-determination, and you can only respect that. So that's our 2 out of 3 hat trick column, if you will, or portion of this last pillar. And to round out the hat trick, of course, we got to make a reference to the World Cup. And the World Cup, you know, there's been some interesting articles essentially about the role of sex at the World Cup. And let's just say some countries only let their players score on the field as opposed to off the field. And there's an article here in USA Today that essentially breaks down how the 20 teams that are in the World Cup control their players' nighttime habits. And we'll just read them off to you. You can look it up yourself, but just for kicks, for Germany, sex is banned, along with alcohol and social media for all their players. For Nigeria, the wives and girlfriends are allowed, but not Russian women, except for Captain Mikkel. So Captain gets the double standard. For Iceland, there's no sex ban, but only long-term partners are allowed. For Belgium, partners invited to stay with the team for only 2 nights. Panama, no sex during the tournament. But, you know, Panama just got bounced from the tournament anyway, so I'm sure they're going to be having their fun because the games don't really matter no more, you know. And Portugal, Rui Patricio's sex therapist wife says that celibacy would be a mistake. So you know Portugal's getting their freak on. Cristiano Ronaldo's getting hat tricks and shit off the field, on the field, at night for breakfast, and in between. For England, wives and girlfriends staying 30 minutes away from team. Quote, thank goodness for FaceTime, said Jamie Vardy's wife Rebecca. Okay, moving on. Uruguay. Sex was allowed, I guess, in the last tournament. Question mark on if it's allowed this tournament. But they definitely have a big matchup tomorrow with Russia. And we'll see how Suarez plays. If he's going to bite somebody or kick somebody, it should be entertaining. Costa Rica. They are rewarded with conjugal visits for making the round of 16. Oh, that was in 2014. So I don't know if they have a chance to make it to the next round, and let's just hope that if they do, that they're rewarded again with a few more conjugals. South Korea, no meetings with loved ones until results improve. Yikes, that sounds more North Korean than South Korean, but you know, to each their own. For Spain, typically there's no ban on sex. You know what I mean? That's a siesta lifestyle. Brazil, partners are allowed at team base on certain days. For Argentina, the Federation distributed controversial guide on how to pick up Russian women. Wow. I wish there was more on that. The USA Today article just left that one little tidbit and really didn't flesh that out. If anyone, maybe we'll do some research and follow up on the next episode about where this controversial guide is and what it says. Maybe we'll just, for kicks, if you can bear with us, look it up real fast. Argentinian. What was this? Let's do a little copy and paste here. Controversial guide on how to pick up Russian women. Where is this? Okay, here we go. May 16th, there's an article. Sexism in Argentina. Argentine Soccer Association hands out advice on how to pick up Russian women. Oh my goodness. All right, well, so you can read this article on El País, and it's in English. Written by Mar Centeneta out of Buenos Aires, May 16th, 2018. Read up on that. Seems like there's some juicy information there. We're not going to cover that, though. We're going to move on. And for the Mexico team, Mexico's team has been notoriously playing all over and on and off the field. So, but they've been winning. So give them kudos. Several players have been criticized, though, for hosting a pre-event party with escorts. Right, we heard about this story, and that was before the tournament started. But look, they had a few escorts, and they're kicking ass. I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't seem to be hampering any energy of theirs. So, que viva Mexico, and, you know, drink the worm. Poland is having occasional contact with partners. Denmark, families and partners are welcome. Australia, families welcome and even attend training session. That's cute. They're out of the World Cup anyway. Sweden, wives and girlfriends stayed with the team ahead of opening. And Russia, sex was banned in 2014, but rumored to be more relaxed this time, perhaps because they're the host nation. And that would just be cruel if you're the host nation and you can't, you got to let your boys stay with their families and enjoy themselves, man. And Russia's winning. Like I said, they have a big matchup tomorrow with Uruguay. So we'll stay on top of the World Cup and, you know, keep tweeting away. Follow us at Nacho Podcast on Instagram and Twitter for more information there. We hope that you enjoyed this little episode and whatever we covered, you know, maybe illuminated some type of sports curiosity you had, or, you know, satisfied some facts you were looking for. Here we are, though, and we'll be back again for episode 5 next weekend. Stay tuned. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Not Your Average Sports. Till next time, peace.